بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. طيب, this is our 25th session, and the lesson that we want to deal with today is lesson number 14, but I think we have a little bit remaining from lesson number 13, inshallah. So we're going to deal with what's remaining from lesson number 13, and then we'll go into the new lesson, lesson number 14. Before we go into the new lesson, or before we even finish what's remaining from the previous lesson, the last part C, or Jim, from lesson 13, I'll just make a couple of comments, and then if there's any questions that we have about this lesson 13 before we go on, inshallah, we have a chance for some questions. First thing is that up until now, up to lesson 13, we have covered most of the material that we're going to cover in this book. We've covered most of the material. I mean, we're more than halfway through. What we're going to be dealing with in the next few lessons are pronouns. In lesson 14 and 15, some of the pronouns and verb forms that we didn't take conjugation, that we didn't take for plurals. And we're going to be dealing with something that's completely new, that is plurals that are غَيْرُ عَاقِل. And we'll talk about that, inshallah, in the future lessons. But this is a concept that we don't have in English, so it'll be something new for us. And we'll deal with that for two lessons. So for lesson 14 and 15, we'll deal with pronouns and verb conjugation, the completion of that. 16 and 17, we'll be dealing with the new concept of غير عاقل plurals. 18, we'll be dealing with duals. And 19 and 20, we'll be dealing with numbers. And that's also something that we haven't really, you know, dealt with previously. So it's something that we're going to have to work on, two lessons. Lesson 21 is an examination. And lesson 22 is a collection or review of everything related to nouns that are mamnu' min as-sarf. And 23 is a continuation of that. So that's what remains in the rest of the book. So I just want you to know that right now we should be coasting down, inshallah. 13 is the most difficult lesson. We finished that today, inshallah. We're more than halfway through. And we only have like around 5 more topics. Maybe 3 of them are actually something new that we haven't seen before at all. Alright, so, okay, now, before we deal with what's on the board here, I just want to review quickly the, you know, what we've been dealing with, broken plurals, in the previous few lessons. And, you know, just as a reminder to us, the broken plurals have awzan. Each one has a wazan, a pattern that it follows in terms of what changes in that word, in the makeup of the word, whether something is added to the beginning of it or the middle of it, or in more than one place. Vowel changes, extra letters, consonants being doubled or whatever. Broken plural patterns, there's no way to predict them. Rather, when you learn a new word, you have to learn, if it has a broken plural, you have to learn what is its broken plural pattern. And we suggest that you memorize words that come under the same pattern or the same wazan, that you memorize them together, so that you can help you'll be helped in remembering them by association. We had 8 broken plural patterns in this lesson 13, and there are many more, but we'll take a few more before we finish book 1, but these are the most common of them. And if we learn them well, whichever ones we didn't learn, as we go through the rest of the remaining lessons, we should be going back to lesson 13 trying to memorize the rest of the broken plural patterns. So the broken plural patterns, they definitely do require memorization. If you memorize those which come under the same pattern together, then it can help you to remember them by association. Otherwise, there's no any easy way to do it, except just to memorize them one by one and memorize some examples for each one. Any questions about lesson 13 before we go on with lesson 13? Any questions about what we covered already in lesson 13? Exercises that we already did in the class or that you did for homework? Any questions about it? Now,
me myself, I'll be honest with you, I'm lost on this chapter. Okay. I'm having a problem identifying what you said, like how you identify which which plural goes to what broken
pattern. Yeah.
For some reason, I'm not recognizing it.
Okay, then, you know, if there's a problem with actually recognizing the patterns, then the other thing is just to memorize. As you memorize a new word, just memorize its plural without consideration of the pattern. And in the future, it's possible that the patterns may begin to click in your mind and you'll start to recognize them, and it may be helpful at that point. But in the meanwhile, the important thing is, like any other vocabulary word, the broken plural is a vocabulary word. And in Arabic, every vocabulary word that we've had in the book so far, we know that what's required of us is to memorize it. To memorize that word and what is its meaning. So likewise, if you memorize, you know, masjid, then you should memorize the broken plural for it is masajid. Okay, you just have to memorize it. You know that masajid means the plural of masjid. Okay? Bait, we know the meaning of bait, we learned that in the first lesson. The plural of bait is buyut. Okay, you have to just memorize. Buyut is the plural of bait. Just memorize it. That's the second option. Just memorize them without consideration of the patterns, and inshallah in the future, it'll start to click. It will start to click. When you keep seeing those patterns over and over, we haven't seen them before. This is the first time we saw them in this lesson. Okay? So as you begin to see them more, they'll start to stick, inshallah. Bi-idhnillah. Any other question? Alright, let's finish what we started. What remains, from lesson 13. And then we'll start a new lesson, inshallah. Alright. Last week we finished part B, or Ba, from lesson 13. And I think we had for homework, part of our homework was to reread part C of the key. We read it in class last week, if it was anything to read. and to reread the dialogue for part C. Reread the dialogue.
That's Jim, correct?
Jim. And to write out the exercises for part C, 1 through 4, and then to preview lesson 14. So what we should have done in order to get through this quickly today, we should have previewed. And we should have reviewed part C, what we talked about last week. We said that in the key for part C, which is Jim, there's only one point there, and that is the plural of tilka and thalika is ulaika. That's what was in the key, okay? So we had the plural for hadha and hadhihi, ha'ulai, and now we have the plural for those ism ishar which are far, tilka and thalika, and the plural for them both is ulaika. Okay, so that's basically what was in the key for the third part of this lesson. And as far as the dialogue, we read it in class last week, and we will read it again just as a review, and then we're going to go through the exercises. Hopefully you did some of these exercises for homework from 1 through 4. There's only 4 exercises before we go on to the new lesson. Okay, so we're going to read now. Okay, who wants to read? Page 78, Arabic section, lesson 13, Jim. Lesson 13, Jim. You got the page?
Yes.
You got the page?
No.
Yes? Okay. Okay. Let's start on this side. Najmuddin.
How like what? How like as the call?
Say, read the same line, Hanif.
Ha'ulai.
Walaikum salam.
Ikhwati. Wa'ulaika.
نعم هؤلاء إخوتي وأولئك أولئك is pronounced with a short vowel. The vowel is not pronounced. وأولئك أصدقائي. Okay, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of this sentence? هؤلاء إخوتي. إخوة. These are my brothers. Ha'ulai is the plural of hadha or hadhihi. Ha'ulai ikhwati. These are my brothers. Wa ulaika asdiqai. And those are my friends. Naam. Okay, so ha'ulai is the plural ism ishara for things which are near. Ha'ulai, these. The plural of hadha or hadi.
No.
And ulaika is the plural ism ishara for things which are far. For thalika or tilka. Ulaika. Alright? Ha'ulai and ulaika. Okay, next line. Read. Go ahead. Men ulaika. Ulaika. Now, Hanif, read the same line.
Men ulaika al-rajalu.
Rijalu.
Al-rijal. Al-tuwal.
Now, al-tiwal should be pronounced with... it's the sun letter, At-tiwal. At-tiwal. Ar-rijal, At-tiwal. Now, men ulaika ar-rijalu At-tiwalu. What does it mean?
Who are these tall men?
Ulaika is these or those?
Those.
Far, far. Ha-ulai is for these, ulaika is for those. Okay, who are those? Tall men. Now, you with us? You with us?
No.
You want to read? Let me pass. Atibba'u.
Atibba'u.
Uh-huh.
Men atibba'u. Men am...
America. America. What is America?
American.
America. America. The place. America means America, the place. Type. Read. Najmuddin, read the same line. Again? Men? Hum. Hum atibba. Atibba. Yani the shadd is on the ba. Atibba'u. Hum atibba'un. Min America. Tay, what does it mean? They are. They are atibba. What's the meaning of atibba? Atibba is the plural of tabib. They are doctors from America. Hum atibba'u min America. They are doctors from America. Okay, read the next line. Hanif. Men.
Men ulaika
an-nas an-nasa. Ni kasra nisa.
Nisa.
Naam. Same line. Read the same line. Ismail.
Oh, men ulaika an-nahu.
An-nisa.
Men awilaika and nisa'u.
Naam, men ulaika. Ulaika. Naam.
Men ulaika and nisa'u.
Men ulaika and nisa'u. What does it mean?
Who are these?
These or those?
Who are those?
Ulaika. Who are those?
Women.
And nisa'. And nisa'. Men ulaika nisa'u. Who are those women? Najmuddin, read the next line. Hunna.
Hunna. Umuhati. Umuhati.
Mm-hmm. At-talibat. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Naam, read the same line, Hanif.
Man?
Hunna, hunna.
Hunna. Umma'ati. At-talibat.
Naam, Ismail, read the same line.
Hunna.
Hunna,
naam, my mistake. Hunna. Umma'ati.
Umahatu at-talibat. What does it mean? Hunna is the plural of here, right?
They are the mothers of the students.
They are the mothers of the students, of the female students. Ummahat is the plural of ummahat. Talibat is the plural of talibah. At-talibatu, at-talibatu. Hunna ummahatu talibat. They are the mothers of the female students. Okay, read the next line. Who read this one first? Oh, you did, right, Najmuddin? Okay, Hanif, read the next line.
Abu at-talib talibu inda al-mudiri.
Aba'u at-tullabu at-tullabi inda al-mudiri. طيب, Ismail, read the same line. That's a long vowel. Aba'u.
Aba'u. Aba'u. At-talibu.
That's not talib. That's the plural. Tullab.
At-tullab. At-tullab. At-an.
Inda.
Inda. Inda. Amma.
Al-Mudiru. Now, Najmuddin, read the same line. Aba'u tullabi inda al-mudiri. What does it mean, aba'u tullab? Okay, the father, Abba, what's the meaning of Abba?
Father?
Father is Ab.
Fathers.
Abba is the plural of Ab.
No.
Okay, Abba ut-tullab, the fathers of the students are?
With the director.
Inda al-mudiri. Tayyip. Okay, the next line. أولئك النساء خالاتك يا مريم أولئك that's a question, right? أولئك النساء خالاتك يا مريم. What does this mean? خالاتك. Huh?
Are they Maryam's
aunts? No. Are they your aunts?
Your aunts.
O Maryam.
Naam, ya Maryam.
Naam. A'ulaika nisa, are those women khalatuki, your aunts or aunts? Ya Maryamu. Okay, ulaika is the plural of thalika or tilka. Ism ishara for things which are far. An-nisa is, what is the singular of an-nisa? We had it in the last part of the lesson. It's in this lesson, I'm sorry. No, it was in the last part of the last lesson, yeah. What's the singular of nisa? Huh? Al-mar'atu wa imra'atun. Al-mar'atu wa imra'atun. Tayyib, khalatuki. What is the singular of khalat? Khala. Khalatun. Witta marbuta. Khalatun. Khalatuki. Ya Maryamu. Tayyib. Next page, 79. Page 79 from the text of lesson 13, third part, Jean. Are they your aunts? She said what? Ismail, read. Are they your aunts? Meaning, what kind of aunts was she asking about? Khalat. Maternal. So she answered, La.
No.
Hunna ammati. They are my what?
Paternal
aunts. Ammat is the plural of what? Amma. With shadda on the meme. Amma. The plural of amma, ammat. La. Hunna ammati. Tayyib. Naam. طيب المرأة and إمرأة are both the singular of نساء. The form of the word slightly changes if it has ألف لام or if it doesn't have ألف لام. If it has ألف لام, you say المرأة. But if it doesn't have ألف لام, then you say إمرأة. Okay, المرأة is when it's definite. But if it doesn't have ألف لام, you say إمرأة. Okay, this was in the vocabulary of the last lesson, of the last part of this lesson. And the last words, the last thing that we had at the end of the lesson was the new words, and we had al-mar'atu, al-mar'atu, bidun alif lam. If it doesn't have alif lam, it's imra'atun, imra'atun. That was in the vocabulary for the last lesson. Al-mar'atu, without alif lam, imra'atun. And the plural of al-mar'atu is nisa'un, or an-nisa'u, nisa', okay? So that was from the vocabulary from last part of this lesson. Tayyib, read the next line, Ahmed. Top of page 79, second line. Ha'ulai. Page 79, top of the page, second line. نعم هؤلاء أطباء وأولئك مهندسون هؤلاء أطباء. What does this mean? These are doctors. أطباء is the plural of what? طبيب. وأولئك مهندسون. What does it mean? Those are engineers. هؤلاء is for things which are near. These. أولئك for that which is far. Those. Okay? طيب هؤلاء أطباء وأولئك مهندسون. Next line. نجم الدين. نعم. نعم هؤلاء الرجال فقراء وأولئك أغنياء. وعليكم السلام. هؤلاء الرجال. What does this mean? هؤلاء الرجال. These men are فقراء. What does that mean? Poor. وأولئك and those are أغنياءُ, and those are rich. نعم, those men are rich. So هؤلاء is pointing to those who are near. These men who are near, هؤلاء الرجال, they are فقراء. وأولئك is pointing to those which are far. وأولئك, those over there who are far, are أغنياءُ. They are rich. Okay, what is the singular of فقراء? Singular. فقير. And what is the singular of أغنياء? غني. نعم. طيب حنيف next line.
أولئك الطلاب ضعيف.
Again, leave the last word.
Last word.
The last word.
ضيافٌ
نعم. أولئك الطلاب ضيافٌ. أولئك الطلاب ضيافٌ. What does it mean? أولئك الطلاب. It's not a question. أولئك. Those students are weak. نعم. Those students are weak. أولئك الطلاب. Diafun, they are weak. Diaf is the plural of what word? Daif. Tulab is the plural of what word? Talib. And ulaika is the plural of which word? Thalika. Thalika, naam. Things far. Taib. Ismail, next line.
Men, ulaika,
arjalu. Ar-rijal is the plural of what? Rajulun. Rajulun. Rijal is the plural of Rajulun. Naam. Men, ulaika ar-rijalu. What does it mean?
Who are those men?
Naam. Hum. Read it. Uh-huh. Read it again. Wu. Za. Ra. U. Okay, read it by yourself. What about the ra'u? Naam, again, that's good. Hum wuzara'u. Hum wuzara'u. What does wuzara'u mean? Ministers. The singular is? Wazir. So what does the meaning of hum wuzara'u? Hum. Those is what? What's the? Okay. Now. Hum wuzara'u means what?
They are
ministers. Who are those men? They are ministers in the government. Now. Okay. This dialogue is very brief. We read it last week in class, and you should have read it for homework a few times. The dialogue is a very important part of the lesson. Why is it so important? Number one, the dialogue brings to you whatever is going to be studied in this lesson. New vocabulary words, grammatical points, is all going to be in the dialogue. Okay? So it's important to focus on the dialogue. That when you read it, before you read it, read the key. So you know the vocabulary words and you know the grammatical points in that lesson. And look for that. Look for the new vocabulary words. Look for the grammatical points in the dialogue. Okay? So when you read the dialogue, you see the new vocabulary words in the context, how they are used in a sentence. And you see grammatical points also, how they use structurally in a sentence. Okay? That's very important. That you focus on the dialogue. Look for the grammatical points, look for the new vocabulary words, and practice your reading. If you read the dialogue 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times, the benefit you'll get from it, number one, you improve your reading ability. You have to read more. You're not going to improve your reading ability unless you read more. The more you read, the easier it's going to be for you to read. The more you read, the more quickly you're going to recognize the words that you see, especially words that we have before. By now we should have memorized them. But even if you didn't memorize them, you should be able to recognize them by now when you see them. Okay? So reading, increasing your reading, enables you to be able to recognize words, to know how to pronounce them, and to know their meanings. And secondly, it helps you to learn, to achieve the ability to use those words in sentences if you want to speak. You get used to them and you have a grasp on them and you're able to use them in a sentence properly, in the way that they're supposed to be used with their proper meanings. So it's critical at this point that we increase our reading, practice reading. You must read the dialogue as many times as possible. You can't read it too many times. The more you read it, the better. The more you read it, the better. Because this way, when you come to class, if you read the dialogue before you come to class, you're already familiar with it. You're not going to come across a word you didn't see before. Because you're going to have time to check that word and examine it. And if it's not sticking with you, then try to memorize it. Try to learn it. All right? So, I think we're going to have to practice a little more reading, inshallah. All right, so this is the dialogue. Let's do it. There are four exercises for this lesson, inshallah. We'll try to do them and then go on to the new lesson. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, we're on page 79, tamarin, exercises. At-tamrin al-awwal, the first exercise, the instruction says, حَوِّلْ الْمُبْتَدَعَ فِي كُلٍ مِنَ الْجُمَلِ الْآتِيَةِ إِلَى جَمْعٍ مَعَ تَغْيِيرِ مَا يَلْزَمْ. Naam, حَوِّلْ الْمُبْتَدَعَ means what? Change or transform the subject, the mubtada. The subject is the what? The mubtada is the first word in the beginning of a jumla ismiya. A nominal sentence begins with a noun. And that noun that it begins with is called the mubtada. So we want you to change the mubtada. Fi kullin, in each. Min al jumali al atiyati, of the following sentences. In each of the following sentences. Change it to what? Ila jam'in, to a plural. Change it from a singular to a plural, jam'. Ma taghyir ma yalzam. And at the same time, they want you to also change whatever is necessary to be changed in the rest of the sentence. If anything else must be changed, change it. If it doesn't have to be changed, don't change it. Change what is necessary. Anything else besides the mubtada. Okay, the example, mithal. Thalika ar-rajulu mudarrisun. Thalika ar-rajulu mudarrisun. That man is a what? Is a teacher. Okay, the mubtada is thalika. That's the mubtada. So you want to change that to plural. So what's the plural of thalika? Ulaika. Ulaika is the plural of thalika and tilka. So you change that to plural. Now when you change that to plural, do you have to change anything else? You got to change the bedel that's with it. So you had thalika ar-rajul. You got to change ar-rajul also. When you change thalika to plural, you got to change rajul to plural. What is the plural of rajul? Rijal. So when you change it from that man to those men, that man is a teacher. When you change it to those men, then you're going to change teacher to what? Plural also, teachers. Those men are teachers. You're not going to say those men are a teacher. But you must change it to plural also in order for the sentence to make any sense. So you change that man is a teacher to those men are teachers. Plural, okay? All right. I'll give you the singular, you give me the plural now. Say that again?
You don't pronounce the Hamza.
The Hamza?
Yeah, for how. Haulai.
Haulai?
You have always been saying.
Where do you see haulai? Ulaika or haulai?
I think it should be haulai.
Where are you looking at?
The
other example?
Yeah. You're talking about ulaika.
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 Oh, ulaika. Okay, okay.
You don't pronounce the amsa alif first. You don't pronounce it.
Yes, you do. You do. Okay, look at this word here. Okay, this word here, right? Ulaika. Is the ism ishara for things which are far. Okay? The plural of thalika and tilka. This wow in this word is not pronounced. It's not pronounced. Okay? The wow is not pronounced. So this is pronounced as though it is just like this. Ooh. And here, this lam is pronounced as a long vowel. That's why they have this line here. To tell you this is pronounced as a long vowel as though it is lam aleph. La. And then you have E and ka. So this word is really pronounced like this. U la ika. U la ika. So this wow is not elongating dhamma. It's not pronounced at all. Don't pronounce this. And this is pronounced as though it's long. Okay? This looks like it's long, but it's not. This doesn't look like it's long, but it is. Alright? So this is pronounced U short. La long. Ika. Ula ika. Okay? Ula ika. That's how it's pronounced. Okay, so the hamza with dhamma in the beginning is pronounced. But the wow after it is not pronounced. It's not elongating the dhamma. Don't say ula ika. It's u short. Ula ika. Tayyib? Okay. I'm gonna give you the singular, you give me the plural, inshallah. من ذلك الفتى من ذلك الفتى. What is the meaning of فتى? A young man. Okay, من ذلك الفتى. What does that mean first? Who is that young man? Okay, give me the plural, Ahmed. من أولئك الفتية. من أولئك الفتية. The plural of فتى is fitya. Okay, so the meaning in plural would be what? What would be the meaning in English of what you said just now, in the, of that plural?
Who are the young men?
Ulaika, is these or those?
Who are those young men?
Men dhalikal fata, men ulaikal fitya. Who is that young man? Who are those young men? Okay, number two. Men amin. من أين ذلك المدرس؟ من أين ذلك المدرس؟ What is the meaning of المدرس؟ The teacher. What is the meaning of من أين؟ From where? From where? So what is the meaning of this sentence? من أين ذلك المدرس؟ From where is that teacher? Where is that teacher from? Okay, somebody give me the plural. Now, Ibrahim. من أين أولئك المدرسون. The plural of المدرس is sound plural. المدرسون. So that's easy. من أين أولئك المدرسون. طيب number three. ثلاثة. Number three. تلك الفتاة بنت الطبيب. تلك الفتاة بنت الطبيب. What is the meaning of al-fatatu? A young lady. What is the meaning of al-tabib? The doctor. What is the plural of al-tabib? Al-tibba'u. Naam. Tayyib. Tilka al-fatatu bintu al-tabibi. What does it mean? That young girl or that young lady is the daughter of the doctor or the doctor's daughter. Okay, somebody give me the plural. Somebody give me the plural. Naam, Hanif.
Ulaika.
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 Uh-huh. What's the plural of fatat? Anybody? Fatayatu. Fatayat. Naam. Alright. Ulaika al-fatayatu. Huh? Bint. What's the plural of bint? Banat. 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 At-tabibu. Naam. Ulaika al-fatayat banatu at-tabibi. Why is it banatu at-tabibi? Mudaf, mudaf ilay. Banatu at-tabibi. Majroor, because mudaf ilay. Okay, number four. Hadha at-talibu من إنكلترا وذلك من فرنسا. هذا الطالب من إنكلترا. وذلك من فرنسا. What is إنكلترا؟ England. What is فرنسا؟ France. جيد. Okay. هذا الطالب من إنكلترا. What does that mean? This student is from England. وذلك من فرنسا. And that one or that student, meaning we understand it means student, that we understand it means student, that is that one or that student is from France. Okay, somebody give me the plural. Plural, nam. You want to try it, Najmuddin? Good. Jayid. Haulai at-tullabu من إنكلترا. أها. وأولئك من فرنسا. فرنسا. نعم. So we for هذا we said what؟ هؤلاء. And for ذلك we said أولئك. هؤلاء الطلاب. من إنكلترا. وذلك plural of ذلك is what؟ أولئك. وأولئك من فرنسا. طيب number five. أذلك المهندس مسلم. أذلك المهندس مسلم. What is the meaning of المهندس؟ Engineer. So what is the meaning of أذلك المهندس مسلم؟ Is that what? Is that engineer a Muslim? نعم. Is that engineer a Muslim? Okay, somebody give me the plural. Somebody give me the plural. نعم. Go ahead, Ahmed. Oh, you want to do it? Yeah, let this man get it. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Give it a shot. أولئك.
أولئك.
Uh huh. مهندس is a sound plural. It's a sound plural. So what's the plural of مهندس? المهندسون. أولئك المهندسون. مسلمون. That's plural also. Sound plural. مسلم مسلمون. مهندس مهندسون. All right. أولئك المهندسون مسلمون. Okay, number six. هذه المرأة ممرضة وتلك طبيبة. First of all, what is the plural of المرأة? النساء. طيب. What is the plural of ممرضات? ممرضات. ممرضات. نعم. What is the plural of طبيبة? طبيبات. طيب. What is the plural of هذه?
هؤلاء.
And the plural of تلك? أولئك. Okay, let's go look at this sentence again. هذه المرأة ممرضة. What does that mean? This woman is a nurse. وَتِلْكَ طَبِيبَةٌ. And that one is a doctor. Okay, give me the plural. Go ahead.
هَؤُلَاءِ النِّسَاءُ مُمَرِّضَاتٌ وَأُولَئِكَ طَبِيبَاتٌ.
نعم. هَؤُلَاءِ النِّسَاءُ مُمَرِّضَاتٌ وَأُولَئِكَ طبيبات. طبيبة طبيبات. ممرضة ممرضات. المرأة النساء. طيب. Those women are nurses. These women are nurses and those women are doctors. Okay, number seven. من هذا الولد الطويل؟ من هذا الولد الطويل؟ What is the meaning of الولد؟ What is the meaning of الولد؟ Huh? The boy. طيب. What is the meaning of الطويل. Huh? The tall, huh? Okay. طيب. Hey, what is the meaning of الولد الطويل? Over here in this corner, right here. الولد الطويل. He just got finished telling you what's the meaning of it. You wasn't listening to him? What's the meaning of الولد? الولد. And what's the meaning of الطويل? طيب, so what's the meaning of الولد الطويل? The tall boy. نعم. طيب, let's look at this one again. من هذا الولد الطويل? What is the meaning of it? What's the meaning of this sentence? من هذا الولد الطويل? Who is this tall boy? Who is this tall boy? Plural. Plural. Nobody over here? Huh? What's the plural of walad? Aw? Awlad. Five. Go ahead. What's the plural of طويل? الطوال. الطوال. من هؤلاء الأولاد الطوال. من هؤلاء الأولاد الطوال. Give me the plural, يا داود. Give me the plural of this sentence. Are you not with us? Becomes clear after a while, right? Huh? What did he say? He's not good at plural. But if you were listening, I just got finished reading it about 3 times, very slow. من هؤلاء الأولاد الطوال. Can you give us the plural of it? No. Okay, I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to pay attention to y'all now. Huh? Allahu musta'an. Tayyib, number 8. Tilka al-fatatu al-saghiratu ukhtu Hamidin. Tilka al-fatatu al-saghiratu ukhtu Hamidin. What is the meaning of al-fatat? The young lady. What is the meaning of ukht? What's the plural of ukht? Akhawat. What's the plural of fatat? Al-fatat. Al-fatayat. What's the plural of tilka? Ulaika. U, short. Ulaika. طيب, what's the meaning of tilka al-fatatu al-saghiratu ukhtu Hamidin? That small young lady or small young girl is the sister of Hamid. Is the sister of Hamid. Ukhtu Hamid. Naam. Okay, give me the plural. Fadl.
Ulaika al-fatayatu as-sigaratu akhawatu
Hamid. What should be the plural of as-sigar? Huh? الصغار الصغيرة. You put Tarmabuto on the end of it. You want to make sure it's feminine, right?
No, but it's
both
the same.
No, it's the same. Okay, so do it again.
أُولَٰئِكَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْفَتَيَاتُ الصِّغَارُ أُخْتُ أَخَوَاتُ حَامِدٍ.
جيد. أُولَٰئِكَ الْفَتَيَاتُ الصغار أخوات حامد. أخوات حامد. Page 80. Yes, question? الصغير and الصغيرة, the plural of it is a broken plural, صغار. It's the same for both of them, صغار. نعم. نعم. طيب.
If you say what?
هؤلاء الأولاد. نعم.
That's how you say.
If you merge them, yes. And in normal speech, you will merge them, yes. Sometimes in the class, a lot of times I read the words separately to make sure everybody can hear them.
Yeah, I know you do that.
But I try to read it twice. First, I try to read it separate words, and then I try to join them together. So you can hear how it sounds when it's joined together. I usually try to read the sentence twice for that reason. So you can hear each word individually, and so you can hear it when it's joined together.
I just want to make sure,
هؤلاء, right? If you join it, you say separately, هؤلاء الأولاد, right? But الأولاد is حمزة الوصل, right? So you're going to join the other حمزة directly to the lamb. So you're going to say هؤلاء الأولاد. إل هؤلاء ال هؤلاء الأولاد. نعم هؤلاء الأولاد. Okay, next page. Page 79, top, I'm sorry, 79. Page 80, I mean. Page 80, top of the page. Number 9. تلك المرأة أم الطالبة. تلك المرأة أم الطالبة. What is the meaning of المرأة? What is this meaning? The woman. What is this plural? النساء. طيب, أم. What is the meaning of أم? Mother. What is the plural of أم? أمهات. طيب. الطالبة. What is the meaning of الطالبة? The female student. What is the plural of الطالبة? الطالبات. Okay. تلك المرأة أم الطالبة. What is the meaning of it? That woman is the mother of the female student. Naam. That woman, we want to say now, those women are the mothers of the female students. Those women, plural, are the mothers of the female students. Naam, Hanif. طيب, what's the plural of أمهات. أمهات. Yeah, أمهات. 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 أم والشدة. أمهات. والتاء مفتوحة. أمهات. Umma, shadda on the meme, like in the singular, umma hat. Fayyib. Okay, so how should this sentence be? Tilka should be what? Ulaika. Al mar'a should be what? An nisa. Should be? Umma hat. And a taliba should be? A talibat. أولئك النساء أمهات الطالبات. أولئك النساء أمهات الطالبات. نعم. Number 10. ذلك الرجل عالم كبير من المملكة العربية السعودية. ذلك الرجل عالم كبير من المملكة العربية السعودية. نعم ذلك الرجل. نعم. What is the meaning of ذلك الرجل? That man. That man. Let him get over there. That man, نعم, عالم كبير. What is the meaning of عالم كبير? A big scholar. من المملكة العربية السعودية. What is the meaning of المملكة العربية السعودية? The kingdom of Saudi Arabia. نعم. That man is a big or a great scholar from the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Okay, give me the plural. Ahmed. نعم. أولئك الرجال علماء كبار. علماء كبار من المملكة العربية السعودية. نعم. طيب. Exercise number two. Exercise number two. Exercise number two says Ashir. Right? Ashir, like from Ishara, Ism Ishara. Ashir. Point to ila al asma al atiya. Point to the following nouns. Bi ismi isharatin lil ba'id. With a ism ishara for things which are far. What is ism ishara? Demonstrative pronoun. Walaykum salam. The demonstrative pronouns for things which are far are what? Dhalika or tilka if it's singular. And if it's plural, ulaika. Alright, so they want you to point to the following nouns by using an ism ishara for things which are far. Lil ba'id. Not for the one which is near. The ism ishara for things which are near are what? Hadha and hadhihi and ha'ula'i. Ashir ila al asma'i al atiyati bi ism isharatin lil ba'id. Either dhalika or tilka if it's singular. If it's plural, doesn't matter if it's masculine or feminine, it's going to be what? Ula'ika. U with short vowel. La with a long vowel. Ula'ika. Okay. Put an ism ishara in there and then read the word that follows it. Start first one. Start from this side. Let's go this way. Now. Zalika talibun. Stop a minute. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبارك محمد وعلى محمد All right, inshallah, we're going to try to finish this lesson before we pray Dhuha and after Salat. Inshallah, after Salat we're going to go until 2:30. Somebody please remind me when it's 2:30. Somebody please remind me when it's 2:30. Stop me at 2:30. Now, inshallah. Next class is going to start at 2:30. Last week we went to 3:30. I think Abdul Haq tried to stop me, but he said something, and then I said, yes, what? And then he didn't say anything. So I didn't know what was going on. Taib, labas. Ashir, okay, point to the following nouns by using ism ishara for things which are far. Okay, we did the first one, right? He said, talibun is masculine singular, so it should be, for things which are far, it should be ذَلِكَ. ذلك طالب ذلك طالب. Number two. نعم number two. أولئك تجار. Okay, he said أولئك. Why أولئك? Because تجار is plural. So we use for اسم إشارة للبعيد plural. أولئك تجار. What does it mean? Those are merchants. Number three. You want to take it, Ismail? مدرسات. مدرسات. نعم. أولئك مدرسات. نعم. نعم. أولئك is the plural. مدرسات is the plural. So we gotta use أولئك. مدرسات is the plural of what? مدرسة. مدرسة. مدرسات. أولئك مدرسات. Okay, number four. Going this way. نجم الدين. Page 80.
Number four.
تلك طبيبة جديدة. نعم. تلك. Why did he say تلك? Because طبيبة جديدة is what? Feminine singular. So we use تلك. ذلك for masculine. تلك for feminine. تلك طبيبة جديدة. What does it mean? That is a new female doctor. Number five. No, going this way. Anybody this way? Naam, Hanif. Number five. Okay, he said, أولئك أمهات الطالبات. أمهات الطالبات. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. أولئك, because أمهات is a plural. So you gotta use the plural. Doesn't matter if it's masculine or feminine, it's plural the same. أولئك أمهات الطالبات. What's singular of أمهات? أمهات. What's the plural of الطالبات? A singular, I mean. الطالبة. Okay, number six. Going this way, on this side. Anybody on this side? نعم. Is أبا plural or singular? What's the meaning of أباء? Fathers. Plural. So you got to use the plural اسم إشارة. أولئك طلاب. نعم. أولئك آباء الطلاب. آباء is the plural of what? أب. And طلاب is the plural of what? طالب. So what is the meaning? أولئك آباء الطلاب. What is the meaning? Those are the fathers of the students. Number seven. Coming back on this side. نعم. ذلك فلاح. What is the meaning? That is a farmer. Number eight. نعم. ذلك. نعم تلك أم محمد. تلك أم is مؤنث feminine. So we have to use اسم إشارة for مؤنث, which is what? تلك. ذلك for masculine. تلك for feminine. تلك أم محمد. What does that mean? That is the mother of Muhammad. Number nine. تسعة. نعم نجم الدين. ذلك صديقي. ذلك صديقي. What does it mean? That is my friend. Naam, number 10. Number 10. On this side, anybody? Naam, Bilal. Ulaika akhawati. What does it mean? Ulaika akhawati. Those are my sisters. What is the singular of akhawat? Ukht. 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 Naam. What is the plural of akh? Ikhwa. Naam. Taib. Number 11. Number 11. Anybody? Naam, faddu. Ulaika ikhwati. What is the meaning? Ulaika ikhwati. Those are my brothers. Again, what is the singular of ikhwa? Akh. What is the singular of akhawat? Ukht. What is the plural of ummahat? What is the plural of ab? Not ab. With shadda on the ba. Aba. Naam. Aba'un. Naam. Okay. Number 3. At-tamreen al-thalith. Hati. Hat. Jam'a al-kalimati al-atiyati. What is the meaning of hat? Give. Jam' means what? Plural of the following words. Plural of the following words. I'll give you the singular. You give me the plural. Ummun. Ummahatun. Abun. Abaun. Imra'atun. An-nisa'u. Un-nisa'un. Ammatun. Ammatun. Daifun. Di'afun. Wazirun. وزراء اسم أسماء. أسماء. طيب, what is the meaning of mother. أب father. امرأة. Huh? امرأة. Yeah. Okay, you said the first time. A woman. نعم. عمة. What kind of aunt? Is it maternal or paternal? Paternal. Sister of the father. Daifun, what does it mean? Weak. Wazirun, what does it mean? Minister in the government. Ismun means? A name or a noun. Or a noun. Type, exercise number 4. At-tamreen al-rabi wal-akhir. Iqra waktub. What does that mean? Iqra waktub. Read and write. Okay. Read. First word. Going this way. First word. Read. Asdiqa'u. What does it mean? Friends. Next word. Agniya'u. What does it mean? Plural of rich. Next word. Anybody on this side? Next word. Aqwiya'u. Aqwiya'u. What does it mean? Huh? Aqwiya'u. What does it mean? Strong. What's the next word? Somebody read the next word. This one is a difficult one. On this side. Atibba'u. What does it mean? What does it mean? Doctors. Taib. Next line. Somebody read from this. Hanif, go ahead. Fuqara'u. Fuqara'u. What does it mean?
Poor.
Poor. Next word. On this side. Anybody?
Me?
Naam.
Zumala'u.
Zumala'u. What does it mean?
It means classmates or colleagues.
Naam. Next word. Wuzara'u. Wuzara'u. What does it mean?
Ministers.
Naam. Last word. Naam, Dawood. Daud. That's a dhamma.
Ulaika.
That's a meme. Help him. Ulama'u. Ulama'u. Naam. What does it mean? Scholars. Okay. Close your books. Close your books for a minute. You can keep your page. Don't look in it. That's all. Just don't look in it. Okay. I want you to give me the plural of these words. Asdiqa'u. I mean the singular. Asdiqa'u. Sadiq. Naam. Aghniya'u. Ghani. أقوياء قوي أطباء طبيب فقراء فقير زملاء زميل وزراء وزير علماء عالم 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 with كسرة عالم. What's the difference between alim and alim? You know, Rabb al-alameen? Alameen is the plural of alam. Alam with fatha. Alam means the world. Alim means a scholar. Alim, alam. The plural of alam is ulama. The plural of alam is alamoon. But here is majroor. Because it's mudafun ilay, Rabbil Alameen. Surah Fatiha, Rabbil Alameen. Alameen is the plural of alam. Okay, this exercise number 4, and that's the last exercise. On the last page of the lesson, page 81, we have a couple of charts here. These charts you have to memorize. Asma' al-Ishara, look on the top of page 81, it says, Asma'u al-Isharati lil-Ba'idi. Asma'u Al-Isharati lil-Ba'idi. Asma is the plural of ism. And it means here, not name, but noun. Asma al-Ishara means demonstrative pronouns. Lil-Ba'id, for things which are far. Okay, you have one column. On the top it says Al-Mufrad. That means what? The singular. On the next column, Al-Jam'u means what? The plural. So you have singular. And then you have plurals. Under the singular going across, you have al-mudhakkaru. And that means what?
Masculine.
And you have al-mu'annathu, which means what? Feminine. So you have singulars and you have plurals. And then under in the singulars, you have masculine and feminine. And under the plurals, you have masculine and feminine. So if I ask you for the ism ishara lil-ba'id, al-mufrad, al-mudhakkar, that means I want singular masculine, which is what? Thalika. If I say al-mufrad, al-mu'annath, that means singular, feminine. I want what? Tilka. If I say al-jam, al-mu'annath, that means I want plural, masculine. Ula'ika. If I say al-jam'u, al-mu'annath, that means I want plural, feminine. And the masculine and feminine plurals are the same. Ula'ika. As far as the singular, I mean as far as the singular, yes. The masculine is dhalika. The feminine is tilka. Okay, after that we have another chart which shows us the verb forms for third person masculine and feminine, meaning huwa. You see Muhammad dhahabu, that's the formative verb for huwa, third person masculine singular, huwa dhahaba. Hiya dhahabat, Maryamu dhahabat. So you have huwa and hiya, huwa dhahaba, hiya dhahabat, and then you have the plurals, the plural for dhahaba, dhahabu. The plural for ذهبت, ذهبنا. Okay, so here we have what? We have the we already had the singulars, ذهب and ذهبت. Now we're seeing the plurals in this lesson, ذهبوا and ذهبنا. So you're responsible for these plurals and you should make sure that you learn them well. Because we're going to be going on learning so the rest of the plurals for first person and second person. This is the plurals for third person. We're going to be learning first and second person. To complete the plurals, inshallah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, inshallah, we're going to stop here, take a couple of minutes break until the time of the iqamah, and then after the salat, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, after the salat, we're going to start the new lesson, lesson number 14. Subhanakallah.
Okay, bismillah, wa salatu wa salam, rasulillah.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Okay, inshallah, let's try to get back to the lesson, second part of the lesson, 25, session, lesson 13, end of it. Before the salah, we're basically finishing up what remained from lesson 13, the third part of the lesson C or Jim. And at this time, we'd like to take the time that's remaining until 2:30. Until 2:30. We'd like to take the time that's remaining to introduce the next lesson. There are a couple of things that probably we can note. First thing, I guess, is that you see on the board a chart, which basically composed of some of the things that we have already covered in the past and what remains to be covered in the next two lessons. And there are a couple of things in this chart that you should look at. First thing is that if you look at the top of the board, we see we have singular and we have plural. Okay, so everything on this side are the singulars. These are pronouns, and these are verb forms, and these are also pronouns, attached pronouns and unattached pronouns. And we're going to talk about them. The brother is asking a question about this, so pay attention to that. We also have here the pronoun and verb form for the first person, singular. And these two are second person, masculine and feminine, anta and anti. And these two are third person, masculine and feminine, huwa and hiya. And we have that which correlates to it for the plurals on the other side. Okay, first person, nahnu. Second person, antum and antunna, masculine and feminine. Third person, hum and hunna, masculine and feminine. Okay, what we want to look at here is, previously we had the pronoun ana, and we also had the verb form. For example, dhahabtu. Ana dhahabtu. Dhahaba means he went. Dhahabtu means I went, right? So we had before this pronoun ana, and likewise we had the attached pronoun that's used to show possession. Possessive pronoun, the damir mutfasil, when it's connected. Okay, here's the damir munfasil, and here's the damir mutfasil. What do we mean by munfasil and mutfasil? Munfasil we mean when the pronoun is not connected to a verb or not connected to another noun, as it is here. Here it is connected. Okay, so this is a muttasil, connected pronoun. And this pronoun here is used to show possession. It's used when we want to show possession. And we are saying, for example, bayti means my house. Okay, so I'm showing who is possessing the house? The first person, singular, ana. So ya here is the damir muttasil that's used for showing possession. Okay, here, this pronoun, ana, is also first person singular, but it's not used for showing possession. This is the unconnected or disconnected pronoun, munfasil, and this is the connected pronoun, muttasil. The connected pronoun here is used, in this case, is used to show possession, as it's connected to a noun. Okay, there are also connected pronouns that are connected to verbs. But right now, we just want to distinguish between this one and this one. Otherwise, we see there are three pronouns here. This pronoun here, which is the pronoun when it's marfu'un. Okay, because the subject of the sentence. We see this pronoun here is also marfu'un, but it's connected to a verb. This pronoun represents the first person singular. Dhahabtu. Dhahabtu means that who is the one who did the action of going? Ana. Naam. And this also represents first person. All of these pronouns are representing the first person singular. Ana, dhahabtu, the two here, and bayti, the ya here, ya al-mutakallam. Okay, what is the difference between these pronouns? Different pronouns are used for different things. Different pronouns are used for different things. When you need a separate pronoun, unconnected, disconnected pronoun, you're going to use this pronoun form, ana. If you need a connected pronoun to show possession, you're going to use ya al-mutakallam. which represents ana. Or if it's connected to a verb, then you're going to use this verb form too. Okay, you say dhahabtu, jalastu, akaltu, kharajtu. All of this, the two here is the pronoun, which is the fa'il in this verb, which we'll talk about in some lessons maybe in the future. But for now, the main thing we want to know here, this two here, when you conjugate the verb, two represents that the one who's doing the action is the first person singular, ana. So you can say ana dhahabtu, or you don't need this, because this is already represented here. In two, you say dhahabtu, that means ana. But if you want to use for emphasis, you can use the separate pronoun along with it. Okay, so this pronoun is the pronoun when you're using it, when it's separate, not connected to a noun or a verb. And this is the pronoun that we're using for showing possession when it's connected to a noun. These we had before. We had these pronouns in previous lessons. We had this one. We had anta. And we had anti. Okay? And way back in the earlier lessons we had these. Anta and anti. And we had the connected pronouns that correspond to them. Ka and ki. When you want to show possession, you say baytu ka. Or baytu ki. Anta is represented here in the possessive pronoun by ka. And anti is represented by ki. We had these previously. Okay, I don't know what lesson it was in. Maybe it was in 4 or 5 or something like that. We had ya and mutakallam. And we had ka, and we had hu and we had ha. In one lesson altogether, we had all these pronouns. Okay, so these are the pronouns that we had previously, the singulars. Ana and ya al-mutakallam. Anta, ka, anti, ki, huwa, hu, hiya, and ha. Okay, what does this mean here? Means third person, feminine, singular, hiya, she. If you want to say her house, you don't say baytu hiya. You say what? Baytu ha. Okay, this is also third person. Masculine, singular, huwa, represents he. But if you want to say his house, use the possessive form of the verb, hu. So you don't say baytu huwa, you say baytu hu. Okay, but the meaning of them, they represent the same thing. They represent the person that you're speaking about, third person. Masculine or feminine? Singular. Now, third person, okay, what do we mean by first person, second person, third person? By first person, we mean the one who is speaking. Me, Anna. Second person, we mean the one that I'm speaking to, directly, you. Masculine or feminine, could be singular or plural. Second person always means the one I'm speaking to directly. Third person means the one that I'm speaking about, somebody else. I am the speaker, I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking about somebody else. So the one who is speaking, whether singular or dual or plural, is the first person. The one that you are speaking to could be one person, it could be two people, it could be three people. But whoever you're speaking to, whether singular or plural, doesn't matter, but second person. And whoever we are speaking about, whether we're speaking about an individual or a group of people, whoever we're speaking about is the third person. Okay, so ana represents the first person singular. This is the plural. Anta and anti represent second person singular. Okay, masculine and feminine. And huwa and hiya represent the third person. When you're speaking about somebody, if you're saying he is a Muslim, then you're speaking about him. That's third person. If you're saying she is a Muslima, she is a Muslima, then that means you're speaking about her. You're speaking about her, so that's third person. So who are he and he or she? Both of them are when you're speaking about somebody. He is this, she is that, that's third person. But when you're speaking directly to someone, you're saying you. I'm talking to you. Whether it's masculine or feminine, that's the second person. The one who's speaking is the first person. Now,
in the books, generally you find that ana refers to I. But can it also be translated as me?
Depends on how it's used in the sentence.
Okay.
Ana represents I, yes. But me, depending on the context of the sentence, it could be me, yes. That's possible. And first person also can be referred to by my, if you're showing possession also. I, me, or my. Okay, all of that is referring to the first person. All right. Now, any question? Okay, so these are the ones that we had before. We had first person, singular. We had second person, masculine and feminine singular. We had third person, masculine and feminine singular. We did not have the plural, first person plural, nahnu. And we didn't have antum, which is second person plural masculine. And we didn't have antunna, which is second person plural feminine. We didn't have these three. In the last lesson, we had hum and hunna. The plurals for huwa, huwa is hum, hiya, hunna. We had these in the last lesson, end of lesson 13. Okay, so all of these we had, these singulars, and these two plurals we had. What remains are these plurals. First person plural, second person plural, masculine and feminine. We didn't have these. And we're going to deal with these in the next two lessons. In this lesson, we're going to take this one, first person plural, nahnu, and second person plural, masculine, antum. We're going to take in this lesson. In the next lesson, we're going to take antunna. Okay, so in lesson 14, this lesson now, and lesson 15, we're going to complete the rest of the pronouns that we haven't had yet. These are the ones that we haven't had yet, these three. Nahnu, antum, and antunna. Along with the possessive pronoun, the connected pronoun, muttasil. Dhamir muttasil. When it's connected, we're going to use this pronoun here, na, for nahnu. Okay, so if you want to say our house, you don't say baytu nahnu. But rather you say, baytuna. Okay, antum, you don't say baytu antum, but you say baytu kum. So the plural, second person, masculine pronoun, if it's connected, it's kum. If it's disconnected, it's antum. Okay, baytu kum, baytuna. We're going to have these two in this lesson, nahnu and na, and antum and kum. Okay, this is the munfasil, this is the muttasil, connected. This is the munfasil, this is the muttasil, connected. And all the rest of these we had before. Okay, we had these verb forms, dhahabtu, dhahabta, dhahabti, dhahaba and dhahabat. And we had in the last lesson, dhahabu and dhahabna. Hum dhahabu and hunna dhahabna. We had these in the last lesson. Alright, so what remains are these pronouns, connected, the connected and disconnected forms, and the verb, conjugation of the verb. In this lesson, we're going to take the habna, and we're going to take the habtum, and in the next lesson, we're going to take the habtunna. And then in that way, we will finish all the pronouns, connected and disconnected, and we'll finish all the verb forms of conjugation. We'll finish them, inshallah, in the next lesson, what remains. In this lesson, we'll take these two. The pronouns and the verb forms. And the next lesson we take these two pronouns, disconnected and connected, and this verb form. And we'll be finished with the verb forms, inshallah, except the duals. That's the only thing that's left. And we'll take them to the end. Alright, so today, what we want to do, this chart really is just to give you a full view of what we have covered and what we have yet to cover. Okay, this is just to give you an overview of what we have covered and what we have remaining to be covered. In this lesson though, these are the ones that we're going to take. First person plural, the disconnected pronoun nahnu, and the connected pronoun that's used for showing possession, na, baytuna. And we're going to take the verb form also, the conjugation for first person plural, nahnu dhahabna. In this lesson we're going to take antum, second person plural, masculine, antum dhahabtum and baytukum. So you have two pronouns, antum and kum, and you have the also the pronoun for the verb conjugation, the habtum. That's what we're going to look at in this lesson. Okay, so this is just an overview of the pronouns and the verb forms. Connected pronouns and disconnected pronouns. Okay, this is just an overview of the whole system, except the duals. So what we want to look at is the key. We'll look at the key right now. Open your book to the English key for lesson number 14 on page 41. In the key we have, for this lesson, seven grammatical points. The first two are related to pronouns that we just started talking about. And the second two are related to verb conjugation that we just talked about. And the last three, five, six, and seven, are other matters. Other matters that we need to look at. Alright, so let's look at the key And after that, inshallah, we'll go over the dialogue, which you should have read for homework. And after that, we'll do the exercises. All right, everybody have the key? English key in the back of the book on page 41. Okay, in this lesson we learn the following. Number one, the plural of anta, you, masculine singular is antum. Okay, we're talking about the pronouns that are not connected, munfasil. Dhamair al-munfasila. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to take in this lesson is the plural for the pronoun anta. The plural for it is what? Antum. For example, men, antum. Who are you? Plural, masculine. Who are you all? Okay? The plural of ka, like baytuka, is kum. For example, aina baytukum, ya ikhwanu. Aina baytukum. This is the possessive pronoun when it's connected. Aina baytukum. Okay? So the pronoun when it's separate, okay, we say antum. When it's connected, we say kum. Alright. That's one. These two type, these pronouns, connected and unconnected. The munfasil and muttasil. The second thing is the plural of ana. We had the singular ana, and now we have the plural nahnu. Like ana, its plural nahnu refers to both masculine and feminine. For example, if the person who is speaking, whether it's one person or whether it's a group of people, the masculine and feminine form is the same. There's no difference. Ana, a female says ana, and a male says ana. A group of women say nahnu, and a group of men say nahnu. So there's no difference between the first person pronoun, whether singular or plural, ana and nahnu, it is for both masculine and feminine. So nahnu muslimun, we are Muslims. Yani if a group of men were saying that, they would say nahnu. And a group of women, they would say nahnu muslimatun. So both of them use the same pronoun. That's for the plural and that's for the singular. Okay, as far as the connected muttasil pronoun showing possession, we have learned that bayti means my house. Now we learn that our house is baytuna. For example, Allahu Rabbuna, al-Islamu Deenuna, wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Nabiyuna. So this pronoun, when it is connected, showing possession or ownership, we use for the plural for nahnu, connected pronoun, we say na, baytuna, sayyaratuna, and so on, like this. Alright, so these are the two types of pronouns that we want to look at. First person, plural, and second person, masculine, plural, in this lesson. As far as the second person, masculine, feminine, we'll take it in the next lesson, inshallah. The third point in this lesson is dealing with, third and fourth point, is dealing with the conjugation of the verb. So we're looking again at the plurals, because that's what we've been dealing with for the last few lessons, plurals. So we're going to look at the plurals for the conjugation of the verb. As far as the second person, masculine plural, okay, we had previously dhahabta, which means you, masculine singular went. In this lesson, we're taking the plural for that, which is dhahabtum, which means you, masculine plural, went. For example, aina dhahabtum ya abana'i, aina dhahabtum. Ya abana'i. Which means what? Where did you go, my sons? Aina dhahabtum. If you said aina dhahabta, that means you're talking to one individual, single male. If you say aina dhahabtum, then you're using the plural. You're talking to a group of three or more. The other kanji, verb that we want to look at here is for the first person plural. Previously, we had the singular, dhahabtu, which means I went. And now we are looking at dhahabna, we went. And here there's a note that we should pay attention to. We mentioned this in the past, previously. Note that they went, dhahabna is different from we went, dhahabna. And what is the difference between dhahabna and dhahabna? What is the difference? Huh? The alif elongation. Okay, one of them is pronounced with a short vowel, the other one is pronounced with a long vowel. So here, this is a point that makes us to understand the importance of being articulate when you're speaking and being meticulous in making short vowels short and long vowels long. Because the elongation of a vowel sometimes may change the meaning to something completely different than what you're trying to say. The habna is a feminine plural third person and the habna is first person plural, for masculine and feminine. Okay, Now, after this, these matters dealing with the verb conjugation and the pronouns, connected and disconnected pronouns, there are some new points that we haven't really looked at before. And it's not a continuation of what we'll be doing for the last lessons, but it's something new completely. Okay, and these matters are relatively simple, so it's not going to take a long time to discuss them, but at least you should be aware of them before we read the text for the lesson. Point number 5 on page 42, English key. We have seen that feminine proper nouns have no tanween. Feminine proper nouns have no tanween. For example, Aminatu, Maryamu, Khadijatu. We said that in lesson 4 or 5, right? We said that masculine proper nouns take tanween. Masculine proper nouns take tanween. You say Muhammadun, Mahmudun, okay? Takes tanween. As opposed to feminine proper nouns, whether they end with ta marbuta or even if they don't have tarmabuta, feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Alright? So for example, khadijatu, it ends with tarmabuta, right? Feminine indication. It doesn't take tanween. But maryamu, it doesn't have ta marbuta and yet it doesn't take tanween. Feminine proper nouns. What do we mean by feminine proper nouns? We mean the names of females or things that are feminine. Proper nouns. Not just feminine words, but proper nouns. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, so the feminine proper nouns we learned previously, early on in lesson 4 or 5, somewhere about there, we learned that they do not take tanween. Now we learn another group of nouns that do not take tanween. There's another group of nouns that don't take tanween. Rather, there are many groups of nouns that don't take tanween, okay? And this is a new group that we haven't looked at before. And what is it? Non-Arabic proper nouns. Non-Arabic proper nouns also have no tanween. Like Williamu, William. Or Hitleru, Hitler. Or Londonu, London. Or Pakistanu, Pakistan. These are non-Arabic proper nouns. Proper nouns. Names of a place or a person as a proper noun, right? So, these names, they don't take tanween. Why? Because number one, because of the reason that they are even though they are proper nouns, but they are non-Arabic. Okay, they are not originally from the Arabic language. So proper nouns, names of people, masculine proper nouns normally take tanween, right? But if that masculine proper noun is a foreign name, not originally from Arabic, then it doesn't take tanween. Okay, so what we're saying here is that foreign proper nouns do not take tanween, even though normally masculine proper nouns do, but here, masculine proper nouns, which are foreign names, do not take tanween. The names of most of the prophets are non-Arabic, and therefore they have no tanween, like Adamu, Ibrahimu, Ishaqu, Ismailu, Ya'qubu. All of these are names of prophets, alayhimu salam, but these names are not originally from Arabic. And therefore, even though they are masculine proper nouns normally take tanween. But here they don't take tanween. Why? Because they are foreign proper nouns, because they are foreign names, not originally from Arabic language. An exception to this rule. What's the rule? Foreign proper nouns don't take tanween. There's an exception to this rule. If, however, the non-Arabic proper noun has only 3 letters, and it is masculine, and I'll add one more condition, which is not mentioned here, and its middle letter has sukoon, and the middle letter has sukoon. Arabic, non-Arabic proper nouns. We said they don't take tanween, right? This is an exception. A non-Arabic proper noun, if it has only 3 letters, and the middle letter has sukoon, and it is a masculine non-Arabic proper noun, then it takes tanween. Then it does take tanween. Okay, if it's what? If it's masculine, if it has 3 letters, and the middle letter has sukoon. Otherwise, non-Arabic proper nouns do not take tanween. This is an exception. When does it take tanween? If it's a masculine non-Arabic proper noun, And it only has three letters, and the middle letter has sukoon. And the middle letter has sukoon. Alright? So, they say here, for example, from right to left, Nuhun. Nu, it is a masculine proper noun, but it's non-Arabic. It's not originally from Arabic. And since it's masculine, and it has three letters, and the middle letter has sukoon, then it does take tanween. Lutun, alayhi salam. Lut is a non-Arabic proper noun, which should not take tanween, except that what? It only has three letters. And it's masculine, and the middle letter has sukoon. Therefore, it does take tanween. Okay? A clearly foreign, non-Arabic proper noun is George. George. This name is a non-Arabic proper noun. It should not take tanween, but it only has three letters. And the middle letter has sukoon. Therefore, it does take tanween. If it's masculine, with three letters, and the middle letter has sukoon, it takes tanween. And a final example they gave is khanun. Okay, it's a foreign, non-Arabic proper noun, but it's masculine. It has three letters, and the middle letter has sukoon. Therefore, it does take tanween. Okay, so what are we saying here? We're saying that proper nouns, the rule for proper nouns, if they are masculine, they take tanween. If they are feminine, they do not take tanween. That's the general rule. Now we're getting an exception to the rule. The exception to the rule here is what? Non-Arabic proper nouns, even if they're masculine, but they're non-Arabic, then they do not take tanween. Unless they have only three letters and the middle letter has sukoon, then it does take tanween. Okay, so we have three rules here in reference to masculine proper nouns. Masculine proper nouns, normally they take tanween. Huh? But if they're non-Arabic proper, masculine proper nouns, they do not take tanween. Unless the non-Arabic proper noun is masculine with only three letters and the middle letter has sukoon, then it does take tanween. It goes back to tanween again. So there are some masculine proper nouns that take tanween. That's the general rule. And then there are some which do not take tanween. That is, if they are non-Arabic proper nouns. If they are non-Arabic, yani foreign, non-Arabic proper noun, then they don't take tanween. And then that exception also has an exception to it. And that is, if it's masculine with three letters and the middle letter has sukoon, then it goes back to the original rule of masculine proper nouns taking tanween. Now, it may sound a little complicated, but if we know the original rule that we had in lesson 4 or 5, the masculine proper nouns take tanween, that's our general rule. Now we're saying there's an exception to that rule, that is foreign, non-Arabic proper nouns do not take tanween. That's the exception. So we put this in the group of words that don't take tanween, they're called mamnu'a min as-sarf. We put this in the group of mamnu'a min as-sarf. Foreign proper nouns, they are mamnu'a min as-sarf, they don't take tanween, and if they're majrur, they don't take kasra. Now, Khanun, naam. It's alif. And it has sukoon. It's sukoon, naam. It's sukoon. Alright? Alright, so this is what we want to pay attention to here is whenever we see non-Arabic proper nouns, the general rule for them is they do not take tanween. They are mamnu'a min as-sarf. Okay? Unless they are triliteral, three letters, sukoon and the middle letter, and it's masculine. In that case, then goes back to tanween again. Okay, point number 6. We have learned that mudhaf is definite by position. So when the mudhaf has an adjective, the mudhaf or the adjective must be definite. When the mudhaf has an adjective, that adjective must be definite. Okay, what are we saying here? We have learned that mudhaf is definite by position. What do we mean by mudhaf is definite by position? What do we mean by that? Now,
whatever is before it will determine what it will be.
Okay, let me ask the question again. We had in lesson 5, I think, al-idhafa. That was in lesson 5, al-idhafa. Al-idhafa means when two words are connected together in a construction, it's called a construct phrase. One of them is related to the other with a certain relationship, maybe ownership, possession, or part of it, or something like this. Okay? The first part is called the mudawfun, and the second part is called mudawfun ilayhi. The first part, the mudawfun, they said, it's definite by position. What do they mean by the first part is definite by position? Now, Ismail. Okay, it doesn't take alif lam or tanween. It's definite by position. It doesn't need to take alif lam to be definite. But if it is definite, it will be definite by position. By what position? Now. Whatever is following it. The word that is connected to an idhafa, the word that comes after it. If that word is definite, then the mudhaf, the first part, becomes definite because of its position, its relation to the second part. Okay? Because of its position in relation to the second part. If the second part, the mudhaf ilay, is definite, the first part is automatically definite without alif lam. If the second part is indefinite, then the first part is indefinite without tanween. Because the first part of the idhafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween. So how do we know if it's definite? Depending on the second part. By its position in relation to the second part. If the second part is definite, it becomes definite. If the second part is indefinite, then it becomes indefinite. Okay? So they're saying here that we said before in reference to mudhaf, for example, if we have this idhafa construction here, Imamu al-Masjidi, Imamu al-Masjidi. The meaning of this is the Imam of the Masjid. The Imam. Not a Imam. He's the Imam of the Masjid. He's the Imam. Don't say he's an Imam in the Masjid. No, he is the Imam in the Masjid. In that Masjid, he's the Imam. We don't have Alif Lam here to say the Imam. And we don't need Alif Lam. Why? Because the Mudhaf Ilay has Alif Lam, or by any other means that it became definite, as long as this word is definite, by position, because of its relation to this, the Imam becomes definite. We don't have Alif Lam, nor do we ever have Tanween on the first part of the Idhafa construction. It never takes Alif Lam or Tanween. But if this word, the second word, is definite, this automatically becomes definite. And likewise, if this word, the second word, is indefinite, then this automatically becomes indefinite. Imamu Masjidin. Because this is indefinite, then this is also indefinite. We don't have to put tanween here. But when you say Imamu Masjidin, that means he is an Imam of a Masjid. Not the Imam, he's an Imam. One of them. Of many, maybe. But he's an Imam. He's not the Imam. Why? Because this is indefinite. An Imam of a Masjid. How do we know this is indefinite? Because this is indefinite. So by position, this automatically has to be indefinite. Okay, so if we put back on the definite article here and take off one of these vowels, this becomes definite again. This turns back to definite. The Imam of the Masjid. Alright? Okay, now, that being said, let's go back to what they're saying here, because they're referring us back to a lesson that we had a long time ago, back in lesson 5. And now we're on lesson 14. That was a long time ago, months ago, right? We've forgotten that now. But we should be reviewing these lessons regularly. طيب. Okay. Point number 6. We have learned that the mudhaf is definite by position. Yani depending on what word is connected to in the idhafa construction. So when the mudhaf, the first part of the idhafa construction, has an adjective describing it, that adjective must be definite along with it. Or indefinite along with it. Okay, whatever adjective is describing it, if it's definite, the adjective has to be definite. If it's indefinite, the adjective should be indefinite. But they're talking about now here, if the mudhaf is definite, the adjective describing it also has to be definite. Because the adjective has to agree with the word that it's describing, right? We said the not has to agree with the man'ut, the word that it's describing. Alright? So if the not describing imam, if this imam here is definite, why is it definite? Because of position here. So if this is definite, any word that describes the imam, If you want to describe the imam, you have to make it also definite. You have to make it also definite. So this will have to be definite like this. Imam al-Masjidi al-Jadidu. Al-Jadidu. Why does this have to be definite? Because it's describing this. And if this is definite, it has to be definite like it. This is definite even though there's no alif lam here. Why is it definite? By position. So the word that's describing it also has to be definite like it. And that has to agree with the man'ut in four things. What do they have to agree with it then? What are the four things? We've discussed three of them in a lesson previously.
Gender.
Gender has to be masculine, masculine, feminine, feminine. Now, definiteness. It has to be definite if it's definite or indefinite if it's indefinite. An i'rab, i'rab, the case ending, the case ending. If it's marfoon, it has to be marfoon. If it's mansoob, it has to be mansoob. So here, you see this is marfoon with dhamma, right? So this has to be marfoon with dhamma. If this adjective was describing this word, and this is majroor with kasra, then this would have to be majroor. So when you read this expression, Imam al-Masjid al-Jadid, if there's no vowel here, you don't know, is this al-Jadid describing the Imam? Or is it describing the Masjid? Is it the new Imam or is it the new Masjid? How do we know which one is describing? Then the Naat has to agree with the Man'ut. So if the Man'ut is marfoon with Dhamma, if this is describing Imam, it has to have Dhamma. If it's describing Masjid and Masjid has Kasra, then it has to have Kasra with Kasra. So if we read this sentence, Imamul Masjidi Al-Jadidi, that means this Naat is describing this Man'ut, Masjid. But if we said Imamul Masjidi Al-Jadidu, then that means this Naat is describing Imam, because it's marfoon. Alright? That's what they're talking about here. They're talking about the adjective that's describing a mudaf, it has to agree with it, with definiteness, and it also has to agree with it in i'rab, in its case ending. And it has to agree with it in being masculine, or if it was feminine, then agree with it in being feminine. And the last thing that we didn't do in that lesson was it also has to agree with it in adad, in number. But we didn't do that in the lesson, but that was the fourth matter. Okay? So let's look at it quickly. He's saying here what? We have learned that the mudaf is definite by position. So when the mudaf has an adjective, it, the adjective, the naat, must be definite, like the man'ut that it's describing. For example, baytu al-imami al-jadidu, the imam's new house. Now how do we know that new is describing the house? Because baytu is marfu'un with dhamma. So al-jadidu, since it's marfu'un, it can't be describing the imam, because the imam is majroor with kasra. So jadid can't be describing imam. So it has to be describing what? Bayt. Baytu al-imami al-jadidu. Al-jadidu is describing baytu. And bayt is definite because imam is definite. So the naat describing bayt also has to be definite. Like it. So the meaning of this sentence is baytu al-imami al-jadidu means the imam's new house, or the new house of the imam. The new house, because new is describing house, of the imam. Here, baytu is the mudaf, and it is definite by position, because it's connected to a word that's definite, al-imam. The same applies to mudaf, whose mudaf ilayhi is a possessive pronoun. The same applies to any mudaf, such that its mudaf ilayhi is a possessive pronoun, meaning it's not connected to a clear noun like baytul imam, but it's connected to a pronoun like baytuhu. Okay? Instead of the house of the imam, we have the house of him or his house. Okay? Here, we have what? Baytuhu. Here's the word bayt. And it's in idafa. It's in idafa. It's connected in idafa to a pronoun, who? The house of him, or his house. That's a idafa. But here, the mudaf ilayh is not a noun, like it was here, but rather it's a pronoun. And all pronouns are definite. All pronouns are definite. So whenever a noun is connected to a pronoun in the Dhafa like this, this pronoun is order, is definite. All pronouns are definite. So that makes this what? Definite also. So if you want to describe here this bait, and you want to say Al-Jadid, the house of him, or his house, and you want to say, you want to describe house of being new, right? If you want to describe house of being new, first of all, house is definite, because it's an idhafa with what? A pronoun. Pronouns are definite. So this has to be definite. And secondly, bait is marfoon with dhamma. So this also has to be marfoon with dhamma. And bait is masculine, so this is masculine. And it's singular, so it's singular. Alright? So the point that they're saying here is just like, one second, I'm going to come to you. Just like when this mudhaf, when it's connected to a word that's definite, so the noun, the adjective describing it has to be definite, so also when a noun is connected to a pronoun, all pronouns are definite. So automatically, any word describing, any not describing this has to be definite. Now. Okay. Five. Okay, we're going to take 1 minute, inshallah, just to finish this key. Alright, so please, you have to read this key carefully if you didn't already read it for homework. And if you did read it again. Okay, so the end of what he's saying here, here, baytu is mudhaf, and it is definite by position. The same applies to the mudhaf, whose mudhaf ilayh is a possessive pronoun. Possessive pronoun, meaning a connected pronoun, connected to the noun. For example, baytuhu al-jadidu, his new house. Okay, al-jadidu is describing bayt. And bait is definite because it's connected to a pronoun, and all pronouns are definite. Therefore, al-jadid has to be definite. Lower your voice, please. Note the following. The Imam's new house. Baytu al-imami al-jadidu. Baytu al-imami al-jadidu. That means al-jadid is describing house. Look at the difference between baytu al-imami al-jadidi. Here, al-jadid is describing what? Al-imam. Because imam got kasra, it's majroor, and so jadid with kasra is describing al-imam. So in this case, it's talking about the house of the new imam, or the new imam's house. In the previous case, it's talking about what? The new house of the imam, or the imam's new house. And there's a difference between the two, and this is something that we need to pay attention to. Are we saying the new imam, or are we saying the new house? And the last point in this lesson is ayu, which means which. Ayu. When you're asking a question, which house, which year, which month, you say ayu. It is used as a mudhaf, meaning what the noun that comes after ayu is always mudhaf ilayhi. The noun that comes after ayu is always mudhafun ilayhi. Means it's always what case? Kasra, majroor. It's always majroor. So if a person said ayu baytin hadha, which house is this? Ayu Baytin. Baytin is mudawfun ilayhi. Majroor with kasra. Ayyu talibin kharaja. Which student went out? Ayyu talibin. Talibin is mudawfun ilayhi. The noun that comes after ayyu is always mudawfun ilayhi, which makes it majroor with kasra. Note though, that when preceded by a preposition, it is in the genitive case. Meaning ayyu doesn't always take dhamma. Normally it would take dhamma. That's the original rule. It takes dhamma. But if it's the preposition before it, the preposition is going to make it majroor. So it is also going to take kasra. In addition to the mudhaf ilayhi connected to it taking kasra. For that reason you have min ayyi baladin anta. Min ayyi. Instead of ayyu you have ayyi. Why? Because it's found in the preposition min. Min ayyi baladin. Baladin is mudhaf ilayhi. Mudhaf to ayyi. So it's majroor taking kasra. Which country are you from? And likewise, fi ayyi faslin jalasta. Fi is a preposition, so ayyi has to be majroor with kasra, and faslin is mudawfun ilayhi, so it also, it takes kasra, it's majroor with kasra. Fi ayyi faslin jalasta, in which classroom did you sit? And then finally it says, on the next page, top of the page, the end of this grammatical point, it can be in the accusative case also. For example, ayya lugatin tuhibbu. Okay, so ayyu, originally it takes dhamma, but if there's something changing it to becoming majroor, then it becomes kasra like a preposition or something else that makes it majroor. And likewise, it can be mansub. Ayu can be mansub if it's the object of the verb. In this sentence, ayya lugatin tuhibbu. Ayya lugatin. Lugatin is mudawf ilayhi majrur with kasra. And ayya is mansub. Why is it mansub? Because it's the maf'ulun bi. It's the object of which verb? Tuhibbu. Yani you would say, ayyu, ayya lugatin tuhibbu means, which language do you love? You love which language? You love tuhibbu ayya lugatin. So ayya is the maf'ulun bi, mansub. The sign that is mansub is fatta. So what we are saying here is the ayyu, the noun that comes after is always mudafun ilayhi. Means it always is majroor. It always takes kasra. As far as ayyu itself, normally it takes dhamma. But if there's something before it, or something acting upon it, making it the object of a preposition, or the object of a verb, then it's going to be majrurun, or it's going to be mansubun, depending on, if it's the object of a preposition, it makes it majrur. If it's the object of the verb, it makes it mansub. So the vowel for ayu can change from dhamma to kasra to fatha. And we're going to have to stop here with this, but I urge you to read the key carefully. Jadida. I think the kalima jadida, the meanings are in the English key. But anyway, we could quickly look at it, just very, very quickly. The kalimat al-jadida, wallahu musta'an. Kalimat al-jadida. Naam, the meanings are all there. We'll skip them, because for the sake of time. Because last week we went over time, I don't want to go over time today. Inshallah, somebody remind me next week, we go over the key. But I want to remind you that the exercise that we did in class today, you have to write them out for homework. And equally important to that, is to go back and read this key that we just got finished reading. Read it and read it and read it until you really understand it and you grasp it and you memorize whatever has to be memorized in it. So when you come to class next week, you can just move straight along. Okay, we're gonna review this key, review it in the beginning of the class next week, but you should read it for homework. We're just gonna go through it just to make sure that it's clear what's in it. We're gonna read the dialogue and then we're gonna do the exercises, inshallah, for lesson 14 in the class next week. For homework, you should have already started the exercises for lesson 14. That was your homework from last week. So now you have it for homework again this week. Do the exercises for lesson 14, as much of them as you can. As many of them as you can. Okay, you have the whole week to read the key, to read the dialogue as many times as possible, and start doing the exercises as many as you can, so that hopefully next week we can try to go through this lesson as much of it as possible, if not all of it. Maybe we won't do all of it, but we're going to do as much as we can, inshallah. Okay, also I just want to tell you, those who came late today, that the class starts at 12 o'clock. Class starts at 12 o'clock, inshallah. And I also want to tell you that we're more than halfway through the book. And we only have five matters, important matters to deal with in this book. Five matters, that's it. Okay, some of them we're going to deal with for two lessons. And then there are a couple of lessons that are just review, and one lesson is just an exam. So really we only have five topics that we want to cover remaining in this book. Okay? So really, none of those topics are difficult. The most difficult of them is numbers from 3 to 10. That's the most difficult of what we're going to cover in the rest of this book. And we're going to deal with that for 2 chapters. Which means at least 2 or 3 weeks we're going to be dealing with that. So that's it. The rest of the book is coasting, alright? So please, don't give up now. Get busy, get busy. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. بارك الله